Isaiah 45, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. This text, a single verse, is small but significant. It's one of those jewels that will reward those who dig it out of the soil of Scripture and polish it up as they give consideration to its message. It is a powerful promise, a tremendous verse for us today. For the Lord says to us, ask me of things to come, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. The Lord here tells us that we are to inquire of him about the future and give commandment to him concerning the present. That is rather a shocking statement. That declaration takes me back a bit. The Lord saying, command ye me. Now, I understand that the Lord commands me. I have no problem with that. It seems logical. It seems right and understandable. But for God to say to his people, you command me, seems incredible. What is God saying? What is our Father declaring when he tells us that we are to command him? We actually are told by the Lord to give commandment to the Lord. Now, this is not saying what so many seem to be saying today in this American faith movement. This name it, claim it kind of theology that says, whatever you want, you claim in faith, and man, it'll come to pass. Really, what that does, if you follow that theology, it makes you God, and it makes God your servant. Where now you are deciding what you want, when you want it, and how you want it, and you simply tell God how it should be done, and he becomes your slave, your genie. It's ridiculous. It reminds me of the story about the guy that found the old ancient glass jar. And he knocked away the mud and the dirt and began to polish it up when suddenly out of the jar came the proverbial genie. And the genie said, Master, your wish is my command. You have three wishes. Whatever you wish for, I'll do. So the fellow thought it through and he said, my first wish, I wish that I had a huge house at Malibu, right on the beach, with all the luxuries and amenities possible. Give me a huge home in Malibu. Poof! Suddenly, there it was, and he was there. A huge home right on the beach at Malibu. And he was enjoying it and just really excited about it when he thought, what I wish for my second wish is a convertible Rolls Royce with fabulous sound system, quadraphonic sound, compact disc player. Man, I just want a really excellent sound system in my convertible Rolls Royce. Poof. There it was. And there he was, driving in this Rolls Royce down Highway 1. Couldn't believe it. Cruising past his mansion there on the beach at Malibu, driving in his Rolls Royce. He reached over to the radio and just cranked it up to test out the speakers and the sound. And Man, as the radio came just blasting out, he sang along with that first commercial. I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. Poof. You know, really, this idea of me becoming God and demanding and claiming really will make me end up being a hot dog. I really mean that. I'll be saying and asking and demanding for things that I really have no business saying or asking or demanding. God is not some kind of a genie who is there just to do our bidding, because sometimes he knows that what we are demanding or desiring is not the best. It would be detrimental, damaging, restricting or retarding to us. And so what this is not saying is that we are to set ourselves up as God, and that God is to be our genie that we are to command and demand around. But rather what it is saying is that we are to come before our Father with such assurance and such confidence that in our prayers it takes on the flavor, if you would, of a command. Knowing the Word and knowing the heart of our Lord, there are things that I can come to Him about, being assured based upon the promise of His Word, what His heart is, that I can pray so confidently and speak so assuredly about that it takes on the flavor of a command. And that is why Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be given. Man, if the Word of God is embedded within you, you can come to God and, if you would, ask with such assurance and confidence that it takes on a command. That happened, in a sense, with me a couple days ago. My little daughter, Mary Elizabeth, 14 months old, she came running down the hallway towards me, and she was holding her favorite bottle. It's a white plastic bottle with a blue and yellow Donald Duck on one side that kind of sticks out, and Mickey Mouse on the other side. And then when that bottle gets empty, she crushes it, you know. Strong little girl. But she came running down the hall with her crushed bottle in her hand. And she said, Daddy, Baba, Daddy, Baba, Daddy, Baba. And I knew what she was saying, what she was, if you would, commanding. She wanted her baba filled up. Now, she was running towards me with such confidence and assurance that I would be responsive to her need, to her situation, that, if you would, commanding. Now, I was excited because this is the first time for me that Mary Elizabeth had sort of put somewhat of a sentence together. She was communicating. Daddy, Baba. Two words, but significant for me. And I was so thrilled. Oh, yeah, you bet. I didn't say, hey, squirt, what are you doing ordering me to go and fill your Baba up? Fill it up yourself. But I was really elated because this little tiny girl came to me and began to communicate with me on a level that she hadn't done previously. All right, you bet. And I went over and filled up her baba and gave it back to her. And she went on her way happy, fulfilled, satisfied. She commanded, and I responded. Now, that's what Father's saying here. Ask of Me concerning the things to come. Inquire if you need information. And command ye Me concerning the works of My hand. I want you to ask. I want you to inquire. I want you to command, because I want to respond to you. Now, in Old Testament history, there were those men of God who learned this lesson of commanding the Lord in this way. I think of in Joshua chapter 10. There was a man, of course, by the name of Joshua, leading the armies of Israel. They were doing battle against the Amorites. And the Amorites were getting wiped out, not just by the sword of Joshua and his soldiers, but the Lord began to hail on the Amorites these humongous hailstones. And the Bible says more were killed by being pelted with these hailstones than were killed by Joshua and all his soldiers. But then something began to happen. The sun began to set in the sky. Darkness began to cover the area, and Joshua realized that the Amorites would escape under the cover of darkness. So in Joshua 10, there's this incredible statement, this miraculous story. Joshua looks up at the sun, and there we are told, in front of all the host of Israel, he speaks to the sun, saying, "Sun, stand thou still." And the story goes on to say, "And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of the man, and the sun stood still." Joshua and the boys then went on to thoroughly destroy the Amorites. But the thing that strikes me is the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. Joshua didn't pray. Joshua spoke expectantly. He commanded, if you would, with absolute certainty. He spoke it in front of all the host of Israel. "Sun, stand still." Now, would you have done that? Well, I can see that I might try something like that, maybe, if nobody knew that I was trying it. I mean, sometimes I drive downtown Medford, and I say, "Light, turn green," if nobody's in the car with me, and it doesn't turn green. But be that as it may, it's one thing for us to kind of experiment sometimes, even in the arena of faith, as long as nobody's listening. Nobody's observing. But Brother Joshua said in front of the whole nation, all of his soldiers, "Sun, stand still." And the Lord says, "I like that. Guy's got guts." And the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, and the sun stood still. Why, Jesus taught us the same thing in Matthew 21. He said, "Look, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, man, things can happen. If you speak unto the mountain, 'Be thou removed,' it will be removed." But note what Jesus said. He didn't say, "If you hope for the mountain to be removed, or if you pray about the mountain being removed, or if you think mountain be removed." He said, "If you say to the mountain, 'Be removed.'" Why? Why when Joshua said to the sun, "Stand still," why when Jesus said, "Say to the mountain, 'Be removed,'" why does he want us to command verbally? Because Romans chapter 10 teaches us that faith is first found in the heart, but released through the mouth. Very important. You cannot really be saved unless you believe in your heart, Romans 10:9 tells us, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again, and confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord." It is then, and only then, that you'll be saved. For faith, Romans 10 teaches, is released through the mouth. Joshua expressed his faith. Son, stand still. Why? There was another guy that commanded, if you would. His name was Elijah, the Tishbite. What a Tishbite is, I don't know. But he was one. And in 1 Kings 17, Elijah the Tishbite walks into the court of King Ahab, who was king of Israel. Ahab, it shall not rain for 3 years except according to my word. And he split. And for 3 years it didn't rain. And then after 3 years, when there had been a dealing by the Lord with many people in that land, Elijah went to the top of the mountain and he prayed 7 times with intensity. He prayed, it's going to rain, he told those that were listening to him. Rain will come. And he prayed, expecting, he commanded, anticipating a storm to come. The Bible says he placed his face between his knees. That's the birthing position in that culture. The way that a woman would give birth in that day was to get in that particular position. And so Elijah was birthing something, pressing something, pushing something, if you would, producing something which he knew would come about. It's going to rain. And 7 times he went through this particular motion until a little cloud the size of a man's fist appeared. And he turned to his servant and said, "Man, run for your life. It's going to rain. It's really going to come down." Faith, speaking, commanding, expecting. Now in James talks about this incident with Elijah. And he says, Elijah was a man of like passions, just like you. Just like me. He was not some kind of a spiritual superstar. But rather, he knew the secret of praying and, if you would, of commanding. Praying and speaking. There's a passage in Ezekiel that really struck me. It says in chapter 36, verse 37, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." I love it. Their cities are wasted. Their population is decimated. But I'm going to rebuild their cities and repopulate their country. Man, I'm going to nurture them and develop them. But notice what he says in verse 37, the first phrase. "Thus saith the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it." Oh, I want to do it, but I'm going to be inquired of first. I'm going to wait to be asked before I bring about this miracle, this blessing. I'm going to wait upon my people until they ask of me. And when they ask of me, I will do wondrous, miraculous things of beauty. I'll rebuild their city. I'll renew their country. When they finally inquire of me. Why, earlier on in the book, chapter 22 of Ezekiel, the Lord says that he was looking for someone. Someone who would stand in the gap and pray to him that judgment would not have to be poured out upon the land of Israel. But no one was found. No one was on the scene who would ask of the Lord and command the Lord. And consequently, the Lord did not work in the way that he wanted to. Because God is committed to a program saying, I want people to be matured for the ages to come. And I will not work just capriciously. I will not work just whimsically. I will work when my people pray expectantly and command with anticipation of my releasing of blessing. That's when I'll work. Because I got to grow them up. I got to train them and prepare them for the ages to come. And so in Revelation chapter 22, the final book in the Bible, we read in that invitation for anyone who's thirsty. The Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. Whosoever will drink, let him drink of the water of life freely. Saints, would you notice that? The Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. The Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the bride, the church, us, are working together in conjunction, seeing the working of God in inviting people to come and drink of the waters of salvation. It is not simply God working independently or man working independently. It is the Spirit and the bride working together, cooperating together and seeing things happening. That's how God has determined that he will be working. Now, what about you? What about me? What about us? The Lord would say to us today, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. Your 17-year-old son who's addicted to alcohol, don't just say, well, I hope someday he enlists in AA or sees the dumbness of that tragic problem. But command the Lord. Knowing the heart of the Lord is that he should not be in bondage to such things. So command the Lord with expectancy. Your parents who are not saved, command the Lord. For it is his will that none should perish, we are told, but that all should come to repentance. Don't just kick back and say, well, if it's supposed to happen, it will happen. But inquire of him. Partner with him. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Oh, I cannot command the Lord for a new Porsche 911T. I really have no biblical grounds to make such audacious claims. But I can command the Lord in humility with expectancy about Peter, John growing up and living a life that's right in God's sight. I know that's God's heart. I know that just as sure as Mary came to me, Daddy Baba, and I said, yeah, you bet, that my Father, when I come to him and command in the name of Jesus and speak words of faith, that Peter John will grow up to be a man of God, that is on the heart of God according to the will of God. And I need to partner with God if that is going to come about. I must be one who commands and speaks faith. Don't limit your ministry, friend. Don't thwart your family. Don't see barriers around your job, even occupationally. Expand as you command the Lord according to the promise of the word. Command ye me. Speak words of faith. Say to the sun, stand thou still. Speak in the court of Ahab what you know is on the heart of God. And if you say to the mountain, be removed, Jesus said, it will be removed. May God help us to be those who command him as he's invited us to do. realizing what He's after, preparing us for the next billion years times infinity to come, that we might be those who have a dependency on Him and a deep communication with Him. Command the Lord in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's stand. Would you join hands, please, with the people that are on either side of you? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father has chosen to work in this area of faith for purposes and reasons that far transcend, that far exceed just this little life that we have here on this planet. Man, He's training us and developing us for the ages that are coming. Would you begin to take seriously the invitation of the Lord? Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and it shall be given and opened. Father God says, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. Inquire of me of things to come. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the man who wavers and doubts is unstable in all his ways, like a wave being driven to and fro in the sea. Lord, I pray that we might be those who today hear this word and might not just be passively, perhaps even apathetically waiting for things to happen, but help us to be exercising the faith which you've given to us, seeing it grow strong and rich and real. I pray, Lord, for the mountains which are looming hugely over brothers and sisters, that this might be the day when they would say to the mountain, be removed. Those who feel like they're losing the victory because the setting of the sun is coming, where they would say, stand still. Where, Lord, we might speak your word which you have spoken to us. And Lord, with great wonder and great humility, we are amazed that you would give us opportunity to be partnering with you. That we would be allowed as your bride to join the Spirit and say, come to any who would. These are mysteries for us, Lord. We don't fully understand them, but we just really thank you for them. And I pray there would be the imparting now of faith, Lord, as you've told us that faith comes from hearing your word, that our faith might now be not only within us, but released through us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.